Samuel 15, but we're going to start in 1 Samuel 9 and looking at the mind of Saul, and with the focus tonight being on the rise of rebellion. And I want to just do a little bit of a walkthrough, a little bit of a comparison, and briefly touch chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 13 before we land in chapter 15. So 1 Samuel 9, verse 3 and verse 19 say this: "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, 'Take now one of the servants with thee, arise and go seek the asses.'" Verse 19 says, "And Samuel answered Saul and said, 'I am the seer, go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today and tomorrow. I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart.'" In both of these instances, Saul was instantaneous to obedience, one time from what his father had told him, the next time from what Samuel had told him. Go to chapter 10 and verse 8. Samuel again speaking, "Thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice. Of peace offerings, 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." Again, here we find Saul in obedience. He waited the appropriate time. Samuel came. Everything worked as it was supposed to. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 12. We see, he says, "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." This was the first time where Samuel had given him instruction and he decided to do his own thing. They're still in communication, they're dealing with this, but from that we see no repentance. We see nothing of him coming back and getting right. We see him making an excuse for the wrong. And then we get to 1 Samuel 15, and I want to read this for our text verse, and then we'll look through the chapter. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Very, very strong statement on the idea of rebellion. Let's pray. We'll look at the message tonight. Father, I ask that you would take this tonight, and Father, help us to understand that when you speak, we need to listen. Father, help our children to understand that when their parents speak, they need to listen. Father, I pray that you would help us to recognize if there is any rebellion in our heart, and God, that we would repent of that and get it taken care of. Father, I ask that you would speak to us tonight. May your word be clear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so clear instruction from God is found in chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. "Samuel also said unto Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto what? The voice of the words of the Lord.'" This is going to be, this is not just Samuel speaking. This is not just Samuel saying, "Hey, Saul, I have a suggestion for you." He says, this is the voice of the word of the Lord. God has given me instruction and I am to pass it on to you. This is God's word. Notice over in verse 23, before we read further, in the center of the verse, it says, "Because thou hast rejected" what? "The word of the Lord." Well, I'll tell you what, we need to be very careful about rejecting this book. We better be very careful about trying to make it say something that it doesn't say in order to justify our behavior. We had better be very careful to lay it out very clearly, very simply, and say, "Look, it's what the Bible says. I believe it. I am going to do my best to follow it by the grace of God because I can't do it on my own. I need His help." We get to 15:2. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." Who's speaking? God is speaking through Samuel to Saul. "I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Pretty big army. Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. So the instruction has been given. It's very, very clear. And it's clear that it is God's word. Hey, nobody's making it up. It's from God. It's clear. It's direct. Jaden, sit up for me, okay? I don't like it when we're sleeping. I understand. Just sit up. It's good for you anyway. All right. You're a strong young man. Get them shoulders working. Put them back. And listen up. It's good for you. All right. So, look. Here's the word of the Lord. Verse 6 through 9, we see Saul's rebellion begin to take place. Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. Ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, what? What? Alive. Is that what God said? Just one. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Well, wait a minute. What was God's word? Both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And of the oxen, oh, and the fatlings and the lambs. And all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but every vile, or everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Man, that's a sick, lean-looking cow. Kill that one. Oh, there's some good steak there. Let's save that one. Look at that sheep over there. He's blind and missing one leg. Get rid of that one. And Saul went through and Saul did what Saul wanted to do. He was the leader. It was not about the people. Who answers for the people? The leader, he was the king. Now, he let the Kenites go. You know, the Bible doesn't seem to be for or against that. They had helped Israel at some point in time. They were the people of Moses' father-in-law back there. So I don't know one way or another how that worked out. But this we see, and some refer to Saul's actions as partial obedience. Now, isn't that a better way to say it than rebellion? It just sounds so much nicer, doesn't it? Instead of saying, no, you are rebellious, you have sinned against God, well, you partially obeyed God. See, we tend to like to make the thing that's awful sound a little better. God called it rebellion, and he said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God refers to it as stubbornness. Saul just doing his own thing, didn't matter what God had said, and he says that's like the sin of idolatry. See, God does not look at, well, you know, partial obedience, oh boy, I'm just so pleased with your partial obedience. You know, if your mom and dad, little children, look at me, if your mom and dad say, wash the dishes and dry them and put them away, and you wash them and leave them, did you obey? The answer is no. Well, I partially obeyed. No, you disobeyed. And that's wrong. That's sin. We look at Saul's then justification. You know, rebellion is a result of pride. Ultimately, Saul knows better than God. God told him one thing. Saul decided, well, we decided. Well, who made this a democracy? You know, God is a theocracy. Well, we decided that this verse really doesn't mean what it says. Who's we? Who gets to do that? It's God's word. Just take it for what it says. Saul's justification of his action demonstrate the rebellion in his heart. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10, and reading down through verse 22, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. What does he say? He partially performed my commandments? That's not what it says. He says, he hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. What did God say? Hath not performed my commandment. What's Saul's opinion of himself? Well, I performed the commandment of the Lord. And Saul said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? Samuel said, I'm sorry. And the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. As he says, the Lord thy God. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. I want to point out some things about rebellion tonight. 1 Samuel 15, verse 13 and 20. A rebellious person will claim to be right when they are clearly wrong. Verse 13 again, Samuel came to Saul. Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way the Lord sent me. Now to everybody here, is it clear that Saul disobeyed God? But Saul is saying, oh no, you've got it all wrong. All of you. You misunderstand. You're not right. How many of you agree that Saul disobeyed God? No, you're all wrong. You all got it wrong. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. It doesn't matter what God said. Doesn't matter what you see. Doesn't matter that there are actual sheep and oxen right there. Doesn't matter that Agag's standing here alive. I have done what God said. He learns a little of the religious rhetoric to go along with it. But he's in absolute rebellion. A rebellious person will claim to be right when they are clearly wrong. Second thing about rebellion, verse 15 and 21, a rebellious person will blame others. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. The part that was right, we. Verse 21, the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. Get it? Which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Samuel, they just did it to please God. Skip church to earn more money to give to missions. And you can think of 1,000 scenarios, but a rebellious person will blame others. 1 Samuel 15, 16, a rebellious person may pretend to be interested in what God has to say. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said, say on. Yeah, tell me what God has to say. I'm truly interested. Not going to do anything about it. Not going to obey it once I find out, but, oh, yes, yes, tell me. And that is a real sign. A rebellious person, they can pretend. But ultimately, what tells more? Whether we sit and listen or what we do afterwards. It's what we do afterwards. We look at the next thing, verse 24, a rebellious person will make excuses even in their confession. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So here he is. He finally gets to the point where he acknowledges his sin. We'll look at why in a moment. But he gets to that point, but even in the acknowledgement of the sin, it's still somebody else's fault. Yeah, I did this and I did this, but it was Pastor Decker. I did this and I did this, but no, it was Jaden's fault. Well, I was involved in that, but I was just participating in it because everybody else was doing it. We've heard it all before. Brother Mike back there deals with young people in the public school. You've heard it all, I'm sure. You look at the situations that are here, and then a rebellious person will want benefit without repentance. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Verse 30 and 31, and he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul and Saul worshiped the Lord. But we look at what it says here. He's like, yeah, I was wrong, but don't make sure that I don't lose face in the sight of the people. You know, don't call me out in front of anybody. You know, yeah, I really messed up, but you know, let's keep that hush hush. We see a rebellious person, some samples of that. Now, notice in verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Can you walk with me to the Old Testament? A person sins, what were they to do? They take a ram, they bring it, they put their hands on the head of the ram, and the priests slay the ram. And the ram is making atonement for the sin of the person, obviously a symbol and example of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. You take a person that's really rich and he goes out and does the same thing. Brings the ram, sacrifices. Goes and does the same thing, brings the ram, sacrifices. Goes and does the same thing, brings the ram, sacrifices. Is that what God's interested in? Now, let's look at how this works in the New Testament. Jesus died for my sins. Praise God, he did. So we sin. Well, the Bible says I need to confess my sin. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. And we go back and do the same thing. And we sin, and we go back and do the same thing. Well, Jesus paid for it, and Jesus paid for it, and Jesus paid for it. I just thought of a verse. Let's turn, if I can find it, Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And it goes on down verse 29 of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. See, God is not interested in us just coming. Look, praise God, there is forgiveness for every time we sin. We all understand that some sins are real hard to break. We understand the power and the bondage that sin takes on a person, and we understand the power that addiction can have on a person. And we get it. God is not interested in us sinning. Oh God, I'm sorry. Sinning. Oh God, I'm sorry. Sinning. Oh God, I'm sorry. What's missing? Repentance. What's going on? Well, I'm going to continue in sin. Grace abounds. Does grace abound? Does grace abound? Yes. Grace does abound. God's grace is sufficient, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from how much? All sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. See, do we get it? God says, I don't want you just to bring another sacrifice. Now, if you're looking at the Roman Catholic Church, God doesn't want you to light another candle. God doesn't want you to make another confession to the priest. God wants us to obey. To do what he says to do. And God's right. And if we don't agree with God, then we're wrong. So God hates this rebellious heart. Verse 23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That was the law of the nation of Israel. Not necessarily the law of the United States of America. I do believe that there have been people accused of witchcraft. Even people acting scientifically have been accused, falsely accused of witchcraft because somebody doesn't understand it. But we do look at this and it says, God gave them a commandment, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. How strongly you think God feels about rebellion? It's a wicked, ungodly thing. Go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. verse 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Amalek was being driven out for these very abominations, and God says, your rebellion against me, your partial obedience, is as the sin of witchcraft. Your partial obedience is as idolatry. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 gives a list of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, look, here's a whole list of flesh, and it's wicked. Once you get saved, God no longer sees all of that. But God's not wanting us to go and do that. We look at stubbornness. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. You think God has a pretty strong view on things. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. We're obviously not talking about a five-year-old here, okay? And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Judges chapter 2, verse 19 says, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Proverbs 7:11 describes a particular kind of woman. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. See, you look at this, we understand God's view of rebellion. And what we declare to be partial obedience, God doesn't see it that way. God wants us to be wholly obedient to Him. God gives us instructions. Follow the instructions. God gave us the book. Let's follow the book. 1 Samuel 15, verse 26 through 28. God will not accept rebellion, and rebellion will break the heart of those that love you. We look at this. Let's back up to verse 23, second half again. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Oh, I've sinned. Can I keep the kingdom? Oh, you know what? It was wrong to bring Agag. Can I stay king? I've done wrong. The church should keep me, shouldn't they? We look at this, Verse 26 through 28, Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Back up to verse 11. The end of the verse says, And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night long, all night. God's not going to accept rebellion. The rebellious heart, and it's still saying, even in his repentance, he's trying to negotiate with God, with Samuel, negotiate for a lesser sentence. Look, the person standing in the courtroom who's guilty and acknowledges their guilt is not trying to negotiate for a lesser sentence. I'm guilty, I'll take whatever you've got. That's the sign of true confession, true repentance. But he's trying to negotiate the sentence. He's trying to negotiate this, and it breaks God's heart, and it breaks the heart of those that loved him. Samuel loved Saul. Samuel cared about him. Samuel wanted Saul to be successful. Samuel had been the one to anoint him. God had directed him. Saul started out right. He was obedient. He was little in his own eyes. And then he begins to disobey God, to make excuse for it. Pretty soon it has risen to the level of absolute rebellion. And God does not look at it lightly. It is rebellion against God. And 1 Samuel 15, 34 and 35. 1 Samuel 15, 34 and 35. Then Samuel went up to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house of Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. And nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Rebellion ultimately separates you from those who love you and makes God sorry. Rebellion destroys families. You think of that rebellious young person that would get stoned. His parents had chastened him. His parents had tried. He says, no, I'm going to be a drunkard. And they ultimately bring him to be separated from those that loved him. Breaks the heart. But what's going on in Saul's mind? Samuel says, you were little in your own eyes. Now he's prideful. Saul's rejecting the word of God. And Saul, he thinks he knows better than God. His life has become about the flesh, the sheep, the oxen, all of the good things. Look, they didn't keep him to sacrifice to God. Oh, that was an after-the-fact statement. And Saul is beginning a road into a very dark place mentally. He's had the light. God has worked in him. God has given him another spirit. God has blessed him. And as he continued down the road, God was working. Saul was on the road to being a great king. But he got prideful. And with pride comes rebellion. Can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. It may not manifest that way immediately. I don't think Saul didn't look at Samuel. I'm not going to kill all the Amalekites. By the way, Agag, it was an Agagite in Esther that was trying to kill all the Jews. So more than one got away. and we look at it, God help us. We start getting a rebellious heart, we're headed down a dark road. It will not be good. It will not end well. Literally, Saul lost the kingdom. You think this partial obedience was not greatly against God? He lost the kingdom completely. I have rejected you, God says. And literally, God stepped back from Saul that day. And what we're going to see going forward, it's not good. It didn't have to be that way. But he knew better. It didn't have to be that way. But he rejected the word of the Lord. We better be very careful about saying, well, I just don't like that verse. Or, well, I know it says that, but I know a lot of good people that sounds like Saul. The Bible's pretty clear. I know the Bible doesn't deal with every issue and every sin of every day and age, but the principles are there. And if you want to know what God pleases God and what doesn't, it's in the book. And we can look at it, we can search it out. May God help us. Because if you feel, and if rebellion is rising in your heart against God, you better get on your knees and confess it to God and repent of it before it rises. Because it will not end well. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I ask that you would help us to consider our ways. Lord, help us to look at our own lives, what we're doing, how we're living. Are we pleasing you? God forbid that we would just be sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing. But God, help us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, bless the invitation. Now we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you need to come pray and talk to God, I encourage you to do so. Are you obedient? Any signs of rebellion climbing into our lives? Is your heart tender before the Lord? Is it tender to the words of God? Is there anything in your life that you just say, I know what God's word says, but I'm not going to? I need God to help me to preach clearly so that things are understood. Once we have the word of God, then we're accountable. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we see this demonstration of rebellion. Father, it's so obvious to all of us. We can see it. But Saul wasn't seeing it. God, sometimes I'm sure that our rebellion may be obvious to you and may be obvious even to people around us, but we're not seeing it. God, help us to be tender-hearted. God, help us to be sensitive to your word and your Holy Spirit. God, help us not to ever get to the point where, well, I've heard about this before, and just shut it off. God, help us always to be growing and gleaning from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.